Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, The Ideal Family Life, Text 35. Devarsh Yar Hatsu Vai Satsu Tatra Brahmat Maja Dishu Rajan Tat Agra Pujayam Matak Patra Tayarchutaha Deva Rishi. Among the demigods and great saintly persons, including Narada Muni, Arhatsu, the most venerable and worshipful personalities, Vai, indeed, Satsu, the great devotees, Tatra, there at the Rajasuya Yajna, Brahma Atma Jadishu, and the sons of Lord Brahma, such as Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanat, and Sanatana. Rajan, O King, Yat, from whom? Agra Pujayam, the first to be worshipped. Mataha, decision. Patrataya, selected as the best person to preside over the Rajasuya Yajna. Achyutaha, Krishna. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King Yudhisthira, the demigods, many great sages and saints, including even the four sons of Lord Brahma and myself, were present at your Rajasuya sacrificial ceremony. But then there was a question of who should be the first person worshipped. Everyone decided upon Lord Krishna, the Supreme Person. Purport. This is a reference to the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by King Maharaj Yudhisthira. In that meeting, there was a great turmoil over selecting the best person to be worshipped first. Everyone decided to worship Sri Krishna. The only protest came from Shishupal. And because of his vehement opposition, he was killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 36. Jiva Rishivira Akirna Anda Koshangri Koshangripo Mahan Tanmula Tvad Achuteja Sarvajitatma Tarpanam. The entire universe, which is full of all living entities, is like a tree whose root is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Achyuta, Krishna. Therefore, simply by worshipping Lord Krishna, one can worship all living entities. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 10.8, the Lord says, Aham sarvasya pravo vatak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. People are very much anxious to give service to other living entities, especially to the poor. But although they've manufactured many ways to give such help, actually they are expert in killing the poor living entities. This sort of service or mercy is not recommended in the Vedic wisdom. As stated in a previous verse, it has been decided, niruktam, by expert saintly persons, that Krishna is the root of everything, and that by worshipping Krishna, is worshipping everyone, just as supplying water to the root of a tree means satisfying all its branches and twigs. Another point is that this universe is full of living entities from top to bottom. On every planet, jiva rashi vir akirna. Modern scientists and so-called scholars think that there are no living entities on planets other than this one. Recently they have said that they have gone to the moon but did not find any living entities there. But Srimad Bhagavatam and the other Vedic literatures do not agree with this foolish conception. There are living entities everywhere. Not only one or two, but jiva rishibhi, many millions of living entities. Even on the sun there are living entities, although it is a fiery planet. The chief living entity on the sun is called Vivishvan. Iman Vishvate Yogam, Proktavanaham Aviyam. All the different planets are filled with different types of living entities, according to different living conditions. To suggest that only this planet is filled with living entities, that others are vacant, is foolish. This betrays the lack of real knowledge. Maharaj Yudhisthira is glorifying Lord Krishna, saying that he's the source of all the living entities in all of this universe. But the so-called scientists, science means that they should have some theory, then they should have some experiment, and then on the basis of the observation, they can come up with a conclusion. Now, of course, the scientists say they've gone to the moon. So if they've gone to the moon, that means that they passed through what the scientists say was the Van Allen radiation belt. It is said that there's so much radiation that in order to safely survive the Van Allen radiation belt, you need lead walls around your spacecraft, which would be something like half a meter thick. Now, of course, no spaceship is capable of carrying such a load, such a heavy load of lead. Still, somehow or another, they claim that they've gone to the moon many times and came back, and generally there's no problem. In other words, the radiation is so patriotic that it decided that if you're an American, we don't influence you. So this is so-called science. Actually, it's science fiction. But people, because they're not very intelligent, therefore they can put aside their critical thinking and accept things which are obviously wrong. And even if they claim they had a spacesuit that could withstand the radiation, well, here we have on this earth Fukushima meltdown, and knowing even the robots that tried to enter into the reactor that had melted down, even the robots couldn't function there. So how is it that they have such advanced scientific equipment that they can walk on the moon, but they can't even walk in places on this earth? So we can understand that this is all cheating. But then people have come to the material world because they want to be cheated. And therefore Krishna gives them the intelligence so they can be easily cheated. They say that there is no life on other planets. Like the sun. They said the sun is too hot. So how do they know? Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Imam Vishvate Yogam Praktavanaham Aviyam Vivishve Manve Praha Manor Ishvakave Bravit. Krishna said he spoke to the sun god. So is Krishna wrong? Because the scientists, they say we can't go to the sun. No one can live on the sun. And therefore, how could Krishna have been in the sun? He would have been burnt. And how can there be a sun god? Because we don't see him. We've never met the sun god. And therefore, he couldn't exist. If we don't see him, he doesn't exist. Before we see a planet, it wasn't there. And then after we discover the planet, we discover it, then suddenly it comes into existence. Now the idea that living entities can't exist in fire, The scientists already know living entities exist in fire. Underneath the ocean, there is a place where there's fire, 600 to 800 centigrades, degrees centigrade. And there are living entities thriving there at 800 degrees centigrade. When they take those living entities out of that fiery environment, and the temperature gets lowered to a mere 800 degrees centigrade, then they start freezing to death. So, if living entities can exist in fire, so hot, so other living entities can also exist in other situations. But the Prabhupada gives the example of Dr. Frog. Dr. Frog, as we've heard many times, was living in his well, thinking that everything that exists is all in my well. There's nothing outside my well. The whole reality is right here in this well. His friend was visiting him from outside the well, and he mentioned that somehow or another he had gone to the Atlantic Ocean, and it was so big. So Dr. Frog said, "You mean it's almost as big as my well?" He said, no, you don't understand. It's much, much bigger. So Dr. Frog started to puff himself up. Is it this big? No, it's much, much bigger. So he kept on puffing himself up until finally he exploded. Similarly, what's inconceivable to us, we, for the so-called learned persons of this world, what's inconceivable to them doesn't exist. Only what's within their very limited realm of experience can exist. Everything else is non-existent. But their limited realm of experience is such is that they don't even know the difference between matter and spirit. They don't even know that right within their own experience is a whole realm of spirit themselves. So if they don't even know who they are, they don't even know they're conscious living entities, then what is the value of all this so-called knowledge that they have? It's all mental speculation. They don't know that matter exists on the basis of spirit. They don't even know that there is such a thing as spirit, but to speak that matter exists on the basis of it. And anything that goes outside their realm of experience, they just declare is non-existent. And even others observe such things, they just discount it, or at least some class of so-called scientists discount it. As I mentioned before, the co-founder of the theory of evolution was someone called Wallace. So he called all the scientists together because there was some person who said he has mystic powers and can walk on the air. So all the prominent scientists, or many of the prominent scientists in Europe, came to observe in England this person. And they came to the second floor of a building, and he walked out of the window, he walked in the air, and then walked back. And all the scientists affirmed that this person could actually walk on the air. When it came back to America, that such a experience was had by the scientists in Europe, the American scientists simply discounted it, saying it was impossible, and they just forgot about it. If one, Pashanapi Napashati, if one doesn't want to see something, it doesn't matter how much it's right in front of you, one will not be able to see it. If one is blind, he won't be able to see anything outside of his own mental conceptions of things. That, Brahma says, the planets are moving exactly in orbit. Now, even a scientist can't even build a little tiny sun that can move in this room exactly in an orbit. In other words, although they claim they know so much about the sun, but they don't know certainly enough that they can't even make a little model of the sun. But to speak of moving in an orbit, with all their intelligence, they can't do something, even in a small degree, So how much intelligence would it take to create something in an unlimited degree? Therefore, Lord Brahma says, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. It's Chakshara Esha Savita Sakala Grahanam Raja Samasas Sura Murtiya Shesha Teja Yasya Gaya Brahmati Kala Shesho Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Lord Brahma says, it's Chakshara Esha Savita Sakala Grahanam, that the sun is one of the many, one of the eyes of Krishna. Rajasura Murti Sheshiteja, and is full of infinite effulgence. Yes, Ya Brahmati Kala Chakra. And it's being put in an orbit which is exact. Therefore, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. Therefore, Brahma, he worships Govinda, who's created such a marvelous planet as the sun. No matter how much the so-called scientists claim that everything's an accident, but why should we accept their so-called conclusion when it's based upon no factual evidence? They can't demonstrate with all their intelligence even how their so-called, smallest so-called accident comes about. Let them create one cell in the body. They can't do that. They can't do anything. All they can do is talk. But practically speaking, they may be able to make a computer that can take one and zero and make something out of it and do it fast enough that it can actually do some calculations. They may be able to make an airplane that flies in the sky, but factually speaking, the birds already fly in the sky. Factually speaking, there are people who have brains. They can do wonderful things with their brains, much more wonderful than any computer can do. Computer can't think for itself, has no morality, it has no feelings, it's just programmed by persons who are intelligent. So who's intelligent, the computer or the person programming it? Still, on the basis of small accomplishments, the scientists are puffed up. They can't solve the real problems of life, like birth and death and old age and disease. These things they don't deal with. They know how to kill people quicker. They know how to spread disease. They're trying to stop birth. And they have no power over old age, because all, even the people so-called finding the fountain of youth, they all died also from old age. So they can't do anything significant. All they can do is help us add 1 plus 1 and get 2 faster and take credit for knowing everything, because they can do that. But generally speaking, all their activities are for a sense gratification. Generally, they all wind up being very violent. Although they claim they can do everything, but wind up, what they wind up doing is destroying things, destroying nations, destroying people's health, destroying the environment, all in the name of so-called advancement. So they're advancing, by all their intelligence, they're advancing to the darkest regions of existence. And people who appreciate such advancement, they're simply going along with them. But Prabhupada Krishna doesn't accept such called so-called knowledge, that there's no life on any planet except for this planet, and that the scientists know everything. They can conclude what's going on in millions and billions of planets all over the universe, and they can't even figure out what's going on in this planet. And here also mentions that Krishna, if he's satisfied, as it says, yata tura mula nishe chenena triptyanti tatskana bujo pashaka pranahara chai de tendriyanam tataiva sarvatmam atuteja. Just like if you water the root of the tree, then the water goes to all the leaves and branches. Or by supplying food to the stomach, it goes to all the different parts of the body. Or if one serves Achyuta, then all the demigods and all living entities are satisfied. And the example is when Duryodhana wanted to punish the Pandavas who were exiled in the forest. When Duryodhana Muni came to visit Duryodhana, then Duryodhana encouraged Duryodhana Muni to go to the forest and take Prasadam with his 10,000 followers. And he knew that at what time, Duryodhana knew what time the Pandavas took their prasad, and therefore he was hoping Durvasa Muni with his 10,000 followers would go there after they had taken their prasad and would become angry and curse the Pandavas. Draupadi was given a plate by Durvasa Muni, as a matter of fact, because she had served him when she was a child, and he awarded her a plate that plate would supply unlimited amounts of prasad as long as the Pandavas didn't eat, as long as she didn't eat. And therefore the Pandavas were able to maintain, even in the forest, many, many Brahmin sages. Right after they ate prasadam, Durvasa Muni came with his 10,000 followers. Yudhisthira Maharaj greeted him and said, "Very nice you've come here. We'd be happy to offer you prasad. So please take your bath in the Ganges, and when you're done, then you can come back and we can offer you nice prasad." Because they're in the forest, the plate doesn't work anymore. All they have is some, even to get 10,000 leaves would take some time to pick them. And I don't know if the sages would have been happy to eat a leaf apiece for their meal. They didn't even have salt for the leaf. So Draupadi was quite upset. But Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being omniscient, he came to the forest where the Pandavas were, and he asked Draupadi if she had some prasad he could have. So Draupadi became very disturbed. Now we're going to be cursed by these Brahmin sages, and now Krishna himself is coming asking prasad, and we can't even give him anything. Krishna said, no, just check the pot, see if there's anything left. If there's anything left, I'll accept it. So they found one little piece of sabji left in the pot, and they offered it to Krishna, and Krishna ate it, and he was greatly satisfied. And it is said the whole universe became full. The Brahmin sages bathing in the Ganges, they also felt full. Durvasa Muni felt full. And therefore they were embarrassed to go before King Yudhisthira in case he had prepared some choice prasadam for them, because they wouldn't be able to eat anything. So they fled the scene. And by Krishna's omniscience, therefore he saved the Pandavas. Because Krishna was satisfied, everyone can become satisfied. So therefore, the real duty of the soul is to satisfy Krishna. And by doing that, in Krishna consciousness, he'll know exactly, he'll become an instrument for Krishna, and whatever he will do will actually be for the benefit of all living entities. Devashira bhutatman rinam patrinam ekingro rajan sarvatmani yaksharanam sharanyam sarvatmanas tuteja, something like that. That if one serves Krishna, Deva, then the demigods, the rishis, the sages, Pitri, the forefathers, all of them, they'll become satisfied. And therefore one will not become either rinim, one will not become a debtor. That all one's obligations will be fulfilled if one simply worships and serves Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
There's one question on the internet. Please accept my humble obeisances. Moon trip, interesting. Sadaputa Prabhu and some other ISKCON gurus accept man did go on moon. NASA says when Allen belt is thin, the spaceship goes through it quick, so the astronauts do not get any radiation. They answered all conspiracy theories. But ultimately, I doubt we should preach no moon trip. Please forgive me if this is disturbing.
They went through it so quickly. It's hundreds of kilometers wide. So they go through so quick. So you try to go through radiation that kills everything. Try, see if you can go, how quickly you have to go through it. That's ridiculous.
Even if you go quickly, radiation is still there.
Yeah. It's like try to say, put fire, intense fire, and see if you stick your finger through it quickly and see if you don't get burnt. Anyhow, conspiracy theories. The whole universe is a conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy, it's science. Radiation kills things, and if you go through it, you'll get killed. If you don't get killed, going back and forth through it, then you haven't gone it. You're just pretending. And anyone who watched the movies of the so-called moon landing can see, technologically, they weren't so advanced in filmography. And therefore, it looks like it was made by a Mickey Mouse. You see them taking off from the spaceship back to the Earth, and just see the same scene going again and again and again and again. Because they weren't, they got it from Odyssey something, 2000, some. It's obviously just made in some kind of film set. So anyone who looks at it discerningly will see that the whole thing was just a fake. And if you want to believe it, that's one's choice. But Prabhupada didn't believe it. Nor does the Vedic literature support it. Moon is supposed to be a heavenly planet. It's so heavenly that its very rays make the vegetables have taste to them. Scientists have done experiments when they put vegetables without any possibility of getting moonlight, they're tasteless. But in the moonlight, they become tasteful. So this moonlight is supposed to be, on the moon, there's supposed to be no living entities, but the moonlight itself is supplying juice, taste, to these plants on this planet and vegetables. And they say that the moon is made out of dust. But if the moon is made out of dust, how is it reflecting so much light? The sun is shining on the moon, supposedly, and the moon is reflecting the light. So take some dust and see how much it's reflective. So there's so many problems with the so-called moon landing. We can go on and on about it. But people who don't want to see, they won't be able to see. That's their problem. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.